Let's bring Jeff Hamilton into the conversation. You know, now, Jeff, considering what happened with the Winnipeg Jets, do you feel any affinity towards the Leafs, or you just want to see them lose?
First of all, gents, I want to say thanks for having me on, but also I love Vancouver too, and love BC.
Yes.
But no, I don't buy into it. I mean, I think a lot of people in this country obviously have a, you know, a bit of a love-hate relationship with Toronto, but they are the last Canadian team in contention. And I think anybody, well, I shouldn't say that, that anybody would want to see the Stanley Cup kind of return to this country, just given the fact that it's the Leafs. But, you know, it's an exciting team. It's a young team. I'm all for them winning, but, you know, obviously they're going to have to get through a big, big obstacle here with game 7 in Boston. So I guess it's that wait and see approach.
No doubt. And he is Jeff Hamilton, multimedia journalist covering the Winnipeg Jets for the Winnipeg News. Also the Winnipeg Blue Bombers season still coming around. We'll see if they get to a collective bargaining agreement here between the CFL and the Players Association. That remains to be seen. But the season has come to an end for the Winnipeg Jets. And I guess to head into this offseason with more questions than answers, considering the cap implications of all the deals they have to make to keep their players and who comes back and who doesn't, how pivotal is this offseason, and who do you believe is mostly in the crosshairs right now?
Oh, it's the most pivotal offseason for general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, that, you know, since he started with the team back in 2011-12. And I mean, if you know, as far as your question goes, lots of people on the books, particularly guys like Jacob Trubut, who in my opinion, and in the opinion of many, played his last game in a Winnipeg Jets uniform against St. Louis here in this series. And I think it's only a matter of time before he gets dealt. I imagine that will probably be done on the draft floor. Where he'll be headed, who knows? Obviously, a lot of speculation that he wants to be in the States, particularly in his hometown of Detroit, or Michigan, rather. But, you know, that remains to be seen. Obviously, you have two guys that are going to be sticking around, potentially long-term, in Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor. But those guys need to get a hefty pay raise. And I think it's interesting because those two guys will probably, or at least Kyle Connor, will use his performance over the last 2 years and compare himself to a guy like Patrick Laine, who he probably thinks he deserves even more money. So, you know, Patrick Laine obviously having the topsy-turvy season that he had this year, but does have his first 2 years in the league to kind of back him up a little bit in his negotiations. He kind of came a little bit more alive in the playoffs after a disappointing few months. You know, he's obviously going to be given a raise and a hefty one. I think that number's fluctuated anywhere between $10 million, which I think seems unfathomable to a lot of people just given his play over the last stretch here. But you know, obviously a lot of other guys, I mean, they have a total of a number of guys. Tyler Myers is up. Ben Sherrod, another defenseman who needs a new deal, who certainly played his way back into the mix. Brandon Tanev, who, you know, has been a pivotal part of that TLC line with Adam Lowry and Andrew Kopp. You know, he went from a bargain deal kind of guy to probably testing free agency just with the season that he had. So certainly a ton of questions. I mean, obviously there's some guys who, I'm not saying they want off the books, but when you look at guys like Brian Little, who only has 1 year of a 5-year deal, over $5 million per season, you know, is he the kind of guy that you see going forward as your second line centerman? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But he is under the books. And, you know, another guy in that regard is also Matthew Perreault, who's got less term, obviously. But, you know, is he in the mix? It's going to be a lot of pieces to the puzzle that, you know, I definitely don't you know, I don't wish to be Kevin Cheveldayoff this offseason.
No doubt. And the one that I'm most curious about is Patrick Laine. And I'm not, you know, planning the route out of town for Patrick Laine necessarily. But I just wonder, for a player who's fantastic, but at the same time still has a long way to go to truly be worth the $11 million or so that he's going to be asking for, how comfortable do you believe the Jets are in giving him the type of money he wants?
Yeah, probably not comfortable at all. And not just because you kind of see a little bit of glimmering of, you know, what he can't do. Obviously, you've seen a lot of what he can do, but just even all that separated from the mix, Winnipeg has been known to want to get bargains on their players. You know, they want to create this culture here where, you know, give the sales pitch of, well, let's get everyone together. We have a young, impressive team. If everyone kind of takes a haircut, you know, we can probably fit all this stuff under the cap. And obviously signing Mark Scheifele to the deal that they did years back at just a shade over $6 million per season, they thought would set the kind of the precedent for the, you know, the rest of the guys up the mix. Well, that's not how things work. And a lot of players don't, you know, as much as Winnipeg's a fun city to be in as a fan, and to have a great team is great for them. But, you know, I don't think that's much of a sales pitch to players who are looking to maximize their contracts. And, you know, a guy like Patrick Laine, to my opinion, is worth that big money. I mean, we've seen it historically. Goal scorers get paid. I mean, obviously point getters get paid in general, but there's a premium for goal scorers. And Patrick Laine, you know, has had a lot of grief this season for what he hasn't done this year. But, you know, people tend to forget quickly, just because he had such a stellar first two seasons in the NHL, that, you know, by this time of the year, Mark Scheifele was barely in the NHL, let alone scoring over 100 goals like Patrick Laine has. So, I mean, he definitely has some power in negotiating. But, you know, I also don't think that they want to set a precedent of giving him, you know, the team's highest salary. Because I just with this past year, I just think, you know, a lot of things, usually, you know, players are pretty good at separating the business side of the game, and particularly what guys are getting paid. I don't think people, you know, necessarily, obviously they compare themselves to their teammates, but I don't think they, you know, give a guy any issues for getting as much money as he possibly can. Well, convincing Patrick Laine that he deserves less when he certainly has had a great start to his NHL career is going to be a tough deal.
You mentioned Kyle Connor would be looking very closely at the Laine deal, and he has an argument that maybe he should be paid more. When the puck drops back in Winnipeg in October, do you think both Laine and Connor are on this team, on the Winnipeg roster?
It's a good question. I mean, you look at a guy like Jacob Trouba, and I don't want to say the precedent that he set, but at least this team is, the Jets are a team that are willing to wait. I think, you know, if you look at a guy like Kyle Connor, he's the more complete player. You know, I think he's a guy who has proven that he can, you know, get physical in the corners. He's great at puck battles. He's obviously a goal scorer. He can set pucks up. He's an impact player and a guy you can put in your, not just your top six, but on your top line, and he'll flourish. That being said, you know, these are guys that might need to play a little bit of the game. They don't have any leverage as far as, you know, negotiating the number, because they are RFAs. They don't have arbitration. You know, they have obviously what they've done over the last few years here, but they don't have, you know, any kind of negotiating power outside of holding out. And then whether or not we'll see that, I don't think you want to set that precedent in Winnipeg. I mean, you don't want to have players who know that if they exceed expectations, that all of a sudden they're going to get into a nasty negotiation process, much like we saw with Jacob Trouba. And, you know, lesser than Josh Morrissey, but there was still a little bit of weight there. I definitely expect both those players to be Winnipeg Jets. I think it would be a big mistake for them not to be. By mistake, I mean on the Jets organizational part. But I am confident that something will get done, whether it's a bridge deal or a long-term deal. Again, we'll have to wait and see.
If that was indeed Trouba's last game as a member of this organization, do you think Kevin Shevandayoff will be more aggressive to make sure Tyler Myers doesn't hit the free agency market? Because you can't maybe lose both Trouba and Myers in a single swoop like that, could you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, right? Because it's, you know, I think at this point you have to work on the fact that Jacob Trouba is not going to be back. So Tyler Myers all of a sudden becomes a bit more of a premium guy, but he's also a guy that, do you want to invest more than the $5.5 million cap hit that he's getting right now? I do think another team will probably offer him that. But at the same time, if you know, he is a team guy, he is a guy that I think we've seen flashes of. We've certainly seen glimpses of bad hockey from him as well. But, you know, it will be interesting what leverage he does have in negotiations, probably knowing that Jacob isn't coming back. Will certainly work in his favor, but at the same time, there's guys coming up, guys that deserve chances. Guys like Tucker Poolman is one. Sammy Niku, who obviously got a lot of play this year, he plays the right side as well, despite being a left-handed shooter. So, you know, you certainly, as you mentioned, you don't want to lose your, you know, two of your better right-handed defensemen go from a situation where you have Trouba, Dustin Byfuglien, and Tyler Myers to not having Trouba or Myers. Because, you know, as we saw this past year with the Jets, defensive issues were a major concern for this team. And those issues are not just placed on the defense, but when you do lose some pretty big minute munchers. I mean, Tyler Myers had more minutes of ice time, if you can believe, than Jacob Trouba over the last 2 years. So it certainly would leave a hole. I'm sure there will be a bit of an effort there, but they do have some guys coming up, and certainly you try to find guys in the open market as well. So Logan Stanley's another guy who I don't necessarily think is ready for prime time just yet, but they do have some guys in the cupboards that, although I don't think would be a great replacement for those two guys, but we'll see what they can do.
Now, Jeff, before we let you go, we have a question here in a text inbox from Paul in Sunshine Coast, kind of wondering, how do players feel about staying in Winnipeg nowadays? I mean, we've seen Dustin Byfuglien want to stay there. We saw Blake Wheeler, of course, and both are American players that are now committed to the Winnipeg organization and that team in that city. Has that whole narrative really gone to the wayside now that players don't want to play in Winnipeg, or is that still a real thing, you believe?
I think Winnipeg will always have a problem retaining players. And it's, if you look at the recent player poll, I think it was the Athletic that came out with one this year. It was Winnipeg was by far the worst city, on all 31 teams, and not even short behind, but behind nonetheless was Buffalo. And if you guys have ever been to Buffalo, it's kind of like,
yeah,
Winnipeg. I think they're always going to deal with that. I mean, I think guys will obviously want to stay in a hockey mad city. There's obviously the appetite for that. They'll only, I don't think that they'll get the benefit of a haircut here or there. Mm-hmm. I think, the case with Mark Scheifele was certainly a situation based on timing. I think Mark Scheifele, knowing the guy that he is and the how much he bets on himself, it is kind of surprising that he signed the deal that he signed. You'd think that he would kind of bet on himself, but it did take him a few years, right, to get in the NHL and to kind of look at an 8-year deal and have your future locked up. Probably looked pretty damn good back then. So, but to answer your question, I think it's always going to be an issue. I think it's going to be tough to sign free agents in particular. We saw that with Paul Stastny last year, Kevin Hayes to a less degree this year as far as production. I just don't think he's going to be back anyway, so it's a bit of a moot point, but it's always going to be a tough time. So I don't think that shine maybe that some might suggest playing in Winnipeg would offer, I just don't really think it exists.
He is Jeff Hamilton. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff K. Hamilton, courtesy of the Winnipeg News, covering the Jets and hopefully the Blue Bombers whenever the CFL gets their collective bargaining agreement in place. Hey, Jeff, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. We look forward to talking again very soon. I'm sure the Jets will give us a lot to talk about this offseason as well.
No doubt. It's going to be an interesting couple months, guys. Really do appreciate it, and have a great one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you for your time. Jeff, one of the good guys out of Winnipeg. Sportsnet 650.